Acts chapter 12. As we come into the book of Acts and we understand that that is the record, the documentation of the early works of the church. You know, Jesus, the Gospels give us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In fact, Mark is one of the people brought up in this text. Luke was not there, but he got all this information and put it all down so he could share the gospel. But Matthew and John, of course, were there. And they give us the birth of Christ, his youth, and then as his baptism and beginning his ministry, and then those 3 years of ministry. And then we go from him being crucified and resurrected and then ascending into heaven. And then we come to the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, we actually looked at it the other night, he said, as he spoke to them, he ascended up into heaven, and there were two men in shiny apparel, white apparel, stood by and said, "Why stand ye just gazing into the sky? This same Jesus will return as you have seen him go." And so it's time to get to work. And so the church went to work, and they began to reach out and to minister and to share, continue to spread the gospel. Now without Jesus leading the way. You know, it's one thing when Jesus is out front, when you have somebody you could just follow. And you don't have to come up with your own plan. You don't have to have your own strategy. They lead the way and you just do what you're told. Isn't that easy? Well, that would be nice sometimes, wouldn't it? And so just let them tell you what to do and only do what you're told to do. And that's what the church had been doing, particularly the apostles. But now Jesus is in heaven, and so they have to take the lead. Who stepped out and took the lead? Peter, okay? Simon Peter did. So Simon Peter, for the most part, steps out front. We see where 3,000 were added to the church in one day, and then the Bible says such were added daily as should be to the church. So they were, so that people were getting saved every day, people were getting baptized every day, and the church was expanding, just growing by leaps and bounds. And what we saw in the scripture is Peter preaching and those people coming under conviction that they needed to surrender to Christ. Right? Then what happened? Well, they said the church is growing so large, we need some deacons. We need some deacons. And one of those deacons was named Stephen. And Stephen was out preaching. And what did they do to Stephen? They stoned him to death. And there was standing nearby a man named Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus was a fierce persecutor of the church before he was converted. But as we get to Acts chapter 12, Saul's already been converted. And now we call him Paul. Herod, the king, raised his authority against the church so much so that now James, the brother of John, has been killed. And when Herod saw that that pleased the Jews, he had Simon Peter arrested. Now think about this. We've gone from the beginning of the book of Acts to now the 12th chapter, and time has passed, right? What time of the year is Acts chapter 12? It tells you right there in verse number 3. It was the time of unleavened bread. We know that as what? Passover. Passover, according to the calendar this year, is coming up. But what significant event occurred at Passover? Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, was arrested, tried, and crucified, and rose from the grave the third day. That was Passover. On the anniversary of Passover, Simon Peter gets arrested and thrown into jail. Now, just seeing the relationship, you know, we could argue who's closest to Jesus of the apostles. Definitely it would come down to three, right? Peter, James, and John. James is dead. John's still active. And Peter's in jail. So Peter was one of the closest three, if not the closest, to Christ. And now on the anniversary of the crucifixion of Jesus, on the anniversary of the resurrection of Jesus, Simon Peter's thrown in prison, and I don't know what's going through his mind. Maybe he's thinking, oh, I guess it's just my turn. I guess now I'm going to be crucified or somehow executed. And we do know that the custom required that one prisoner be released at this festival. Maybe Simon Peter thought, well, maybe I'll be the one released. I can tell you what I believe. The narrative's not here. But I believe that Simon Peter could have said at this point what Paul said at the end of his life, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown. Maybe he was looking forward to going to heaven to be with the Lord. But I believe that he had a peace and he was resigned to just whatever. Like, go preach, okay. Go to prison, okay. Be executed, okay, whatever. Don't you love it when the kids say that? Whatever. I know my wife loves it when our kids say that. Whatever. But Simon Peter was resigned to it. He had given his life to Christ. He had surrendered his life to Christ. That meant everything I am and everything I will be belongs to God. So if I die, okay. And if I live, okay. Are we there? Are we at that point where we are ready to go and be with the Lord, but if he needs us here, we'll stay and do his work here? That's what we should be. That's how we should be. And that takes away so much worry because we're not holding on to this life so tightly. And what did Jesus say? He who would save his life will lose it. But he who will lose his life for my sake, the same shall find it. That's when we really find the ability to live free, live in liberty. And so, verse number 4. Y'all didn't think we were ever going to read the Bible, did you? So when the king had apprehended Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. So a quaternion is just a group of, a band of soldiers, probably 4, and they would be assigned through the night. So there'd be 4 with you at each time, and they would take shifts around the clock. And the reason I really believe that Simon Peter just figured he was going to die and there wasn't anything to worry about because he couldn't change it. Right? Why do we worry about stuff we can't fix? Right? If we can fix it, fix it. If we can change it, change it. But if we can't influence it at all, leave it alone. I mean, you can be mad about it, but don't worry about it. I can be sad about it, but don't worry about it. We can't fix it, can't change it. What we can change, we ought to change. And what we can't change, just let it be. But the Bible says they put him in prison. Verse number 6, when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. So there were 2 in the prison with him and 2 out front guarding the building. Remember when the ship was being tossed, the apostles came to Jesus and they said, Lord, do you not care that we perish? What was Jesus doing? He was sleeping. By the way, what was Jonah doing? He was sleeping too. He had a false peace. Jesus had a true peace, and Simon Peter just laying in prison, just sleeping. Because what could he change by staying up all night worried about it? Nothing. And it says the same night when Herod would have brought him forth. Remember the context, the Bible, the Hebrew calendar, the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. So they have the night before the day. And so it says that same night, See, when the sun came up, what would they do? Well, I remember when Jesus was arrested, the Bible said they came and got him early in the morning. So probably before the sun came up, they would be on their way to that prison to get Peter. And he's sleeping. He ready? What's he going to do to change it? Can't chained in there. So he just goes to sleep. And the Bible says the angel of the Lord, verse 7, came upon him and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side. How many of you wake up when somebody turns the lights on in the room? So we sneak around just barely having any light. The angel showed up and there's this glow in the room like a star, like the sun itself is in. And Simon Peter just still sleeping because he was at peace. And so the angel smacked him on the side. Hey, get up, get up. Raised him up, picked him up, like grabbed him by the shoulder. Hey, get up. Y'all ever have to do that to your husband? You thought I was going to say your kids, didn't you? And he says, arise up quickly. And when he did that, the chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said, gird thyself, bind on thy sandals, get dressed and put your shoes on. So he did, and said, cast thy garment about thee. Okay, cover yourself up. And he did. And he went out, and he followed him, and wist not, or knew not, that it was true which was done. Like, am I dreaming? Is this real? How many of you ever had a dream, and you woke up thinking it was real? How many of you ever had a dream, and it seemed so real, you woke up mad at somebody for what they did in the dream? Simon is experiencing this, but he's not sure if it's real. He's dressed, he's got his shoes on, he's walking, he's following. They go out of the prison, verse 10, past the first, the second ward. They come to the iron gate that leads to the city, and it opened to them of his own accord. It just opened. And they went out and they passed on through the street. Forthwith the angel departed from him. That was it. The angel was gone. Peter's free. He's not going to be executed the next day. He's free. Did anybody notice that we missed verse 5? What happened in verse 5? It says the prayer was made without ceasing of the church. When their brother was in trouble, they were in prayer. And they stayed through the night. Remember, it is the anniversary of the crucifixion and resurrection. It is Passover. It is a great festival. It is a great celebration of unleavened bread. And it is a historical and traditional and religious festival. And the church is gathered and they're praying and they're praying. What are they praying? Their prayer is specific. It doesn't tell us what they prayed. But they prayer, it says they prayed for him, for Simon Peter. Well, what were they praying? Lord, keep him comfortable in prison? You think that's what their prayer was? Lord, get him out. Lord, set him free. Change the heart of the king and release our brother from prison. Make a way for Peter to get out of prison. And they probably thought, they probably had reflections of the crucifixion, thinking now Simon's going to be crucified. Here we go again. And so they're praying and praying and praying. While they're praying, he's getting out. He's walking out. He's got his shoes on. He's got his shirt on. He's got his cloak on. Walking out, door opens. He walks out. He's in the street. He's standing there. And he goes, this is not a dream. This is real. I'm really out here. Did he pinch himself? Doesn't say. But it says he came to himself. And he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Hey, Peter heard them cry out, crucify him, crucify him, at Jesus' trial. I'm sure he was reliving all that in his mind. In his imagination. Imagination is very powerful, isn't it? It can make us believe things that are not real. It can make us see things that are not happening. We got to be very conscious of our imagination and very careful about the worries and the anxieties and the stresses that we introduce into our minds. Because somebody called, I was on the phone with somebody the other day, and they said, "Oh, it's my boss calling, probably calling to fire me." I said, "Well, maybe you better click over and find out." I did. I said, "Okay, I'll call you back." Took the phone call, called me back. "What'd the boss want?" "Oh, just something about work." "Did you get fired?" "No." But really believed that it was probably getting fired when originally got the phone call. That's what our imagination does. Probably, you know, sometimes it's probably because we deserve to be fired. They, "Oh, no, they figured it out." Right? But we let our worry, our imagination, our negative thoughts take over. Simon didn't do it. Simon went in there, he slept. He got free. He's out. Now what does he do? He goes to the house where the church was gathered. He goes to the place where the people were praying. Well, who in the world's at the house this time of night? Rhoda, go check the door. Rhoda comes to the gate. "Who is it?" "Hey, it's Simon. Let me in." You know, it's the middle of the night. He's not hollering. "Hey, Simon, let me in." She got so excited. "Hey, Simon's here. Peter's here." So she goes running back into the crowd to the church. "Hey, Peter's here." Isn't that what they were praying for? They were praying that he would be set free. Now he's at the door. Look at what it says. Verse 13, Peter knocked at the door, and the damsel that came was Rhoda. Verse 14, she knew Peter's voice. She opened not the gate because she got so excited that she ran back in the house. And told them how Peter stood before the gate. And they said to her, "You're crazy. Thou art mad." She said, "No, it's really him." They said, "Oh, it's his angel. He's dead. And his angel's spirit's just stopping by on the way to heaven." You know what's wrong with the church? We ask God for stuff and then we don't even believe he'll do it. How about we ask God for what we need and trust him? How about we ask God for what our desire is and then watch and see what he does? See his hand in every part of the answer. See his hand in every part of the solution. And it's like that joke that Brother Bassett tells about the guy that's driving around the mall parking lot trying to get a parking spot. And he says, "Lord, if you'll just give me a parking spot close to the front, I'll give $10,000 to the church." About that time he saw somebody backing out. He said, "Oh, never mind, I found one myself." When God does it, then we say, "Oh, we figured it out on our own, or the doctor did it, or the, you know, somebody else." No, God can use others to work these things together. Look, praise the doctors for their good work. Praise your friends for their good help. But praise the Lord for answering your prayer. "Oh, it's really him." "No, you're mad. You're crazy. He can't be out there. He's in prison. They're going to kill him in the morning. We're in here making deviled eggs for the funeral." Well, you know, they got to have deviled eggs. He continued knocking, verse 16. "And when they had opened the door, they saw him and they were astonished." How did you get out? You prayed. That's how you prayed. You know how he got out? God wasn't finished yet. God wasn't finished yet. Think about this. God had something that only Peter could do. I know that Jesus said, "If these would not praise me, the rocks should cry out." But God made you for a purpose that only you can fill. And so he needs you here. And he needs you faithful. And he needs you available. And he needs you in a position to make a difference. Not just you, he needs me too. And so what are we going to do? Are we going to live dangerously and take unnecessary risk? Of course not. But we're not going to be afraid of living. And we're not going to be afraid of dying. Because when the Lord's ready for us, He'll take us home. And so we're going to go and we're going to live for Him. We're going to do what He has called us to do. See, God can do the unimaginable, defeating our circumstances. What did Peter have stacked against him? Well, for one, he was in prison. For two, there were guards on either side of him. Not just that, they had guards at the door. Not just that, they had him chained to the floor. Trust me, he wasn't going anywhere. He was completely defeated. He was completely disabled. He was completely incapable of preaching at that point. And God said, I'm not finished yet. And I'll take away the chains, and I'll remove the guards, and I'll open the gate. And by the way, don't just lay there sleeping through your freedom. The angel smacked him and said, it's time to go. Hurry up. Let's go. And he beckoned to them in verse 17 and told them to hold their peace and declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. He said, go show these things to James, another James, and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. Sometimes it is the case that our ministry is finished where we are. Such was the case for Simon Peter. But his ministry wasn't finished. He just had to go serve somewhere else. But God wasn't finished with him just because he was finished with him there. We have to be willing to find new opportunities. You know, there's a missionary that once said, no one should hear the gospel twice until everybody's heard it at least once. You know, there are people who have heard the gospel over and over and over again and they have not responded. But it's time for us to get that message to somebody who hasn't heard it, so they can respond. So you say, well, I've been working on my brother-in-law. I've been working on my sister, such and such. Look, how about this? Find somebody else to work on. Find somebody else that needs Jesus. And it may be that giving them a break from being preached to will work. Maybe they'll come to you and say, hey, you used to talk to me about Jesus all the time. Why'd you quit? And you say, well, I just figured you'd come around on your own. I guess you must be there because you missed my preaching. Would you stand? There's nothing that can keep us down if God has a purpose except us. The only thing that's going to keep us from being used of God is our resistance to God. But if today we'll say to Him, God, I surrender. I know that there were other apostles and I know there were other believers that God could have used. God needed Peter. And God needs you. God wants you. You have a unique experience so that you can reach others that have that same experience. Or I may not be able to reach them. They may not listen to me, but they'll listen to you because you they can relate to. That was shared this morning in Brotherhood after the devotion. One of the brothers said, you know, I appreciate the devotion because when I hear him talk, I can relate to him because we've got a very similar experience. Don't hide your testimony. Don't hide your failures. Share your successes. Share your failures. Tell people how you've overcome them through the grace of God. Father, use this time we have to do your work in us. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open. If you want to come and kneel and pray, this is your opportunity. If you're here this morning and you haven't trusted Christ as your Lord and your Savior, would you pray from your heart to God's heart right now and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. though Jesus died for me and rose the third day. And I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. God, I give my life to you. I surrender my life. Would you give it all to him? God needs you. God made you on purpose. He needs you. Available. We'll be back tonight at 6, Wednesday night at 7. Anything before we dismiss, don't forget, senior lunch, 11:30 at the Castanet Tuesday. Look forward to seeing you there. Brother Ronnie, would you dismiss us, please?